This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Now, one of the things that came out of the finance minister's budget speech about almost a month ago were the incentives for people who installed solar panels, solar PVs on their homes and businesses. 25% of the cost of installation to be returned to you in the form of a rebate, and then that rebate capped at about 15,000 rands. And the prices for installing solar in your home range from about 40,000 rands to about 100,000 rands, give or take how many you need. I think one panel costs about 4,000 and you need about 10 for it to really power your house, an average house of about 3 bedrooms and 2 bathrooms, I think. And then, you know, upwards of that. And so the question is, municipalities as well also distribute electricity and charge for it. They are customers to Eskom, but you become their customers depending on where you live. And with this load shedding, many municipalities have been talking about devolution, which is buying up some generating assets and, creating their own electricity and incentivizing businesses that can feed in excess and surplus to be part of that grid. So there's a lot that's going on in this space. And of course, there's a new electricity minister and there's a national energy plan as well. So let's talk about what all of this means. If there is an uptake of solar, an uptake for these incentives and these rebates, and what the prospects would be for municipalities and for entrepreneurs and estates, I guess, who would effectively create their own mini power stations. We're joined by Nhlanhla Ngidi, Head of Energy and Electricity at SALGA. Nhlanhla, good morning.
Good morning, Lerato. Thank you for having me, and good morning to your listeners as well.
Thank you so much, and thanks for coming. So, Nhlanhla, if you can help us, before we get into the municipalities, whether they gain or lose, I think, can we just do the building blocks, the ABCs, because we just need to understand what is on offer. So budget speech is tabled, and within it, 25% of the costs of new and unused solar PVs, a rebate. Right. So what is being offered here by the Treasury?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for the question, Lerato. What is being offered by the Minister of Finance here is basically an incentive or a tax rebate.
Yeah.
To the people who only afford. You see, that is where we have a bit of a problem. I think they've missed it there.
Mm.
In South Africa right now, we have about 19 million people employed or paying taxes out of, I think, 55 million.
Mm.
We've got the middle class, the lower class, and the rich. And look at the numbers of the upper class and the middle class. I think there's an assumption that middle class and the upper class can actually afford to even install a solar system, and I don't think that's the case. I mean, look at how the interest rates are hitting the roof right now. I think the Minister of Finance assumed that there's a lot of people who can afford this, but I think it's going to be an issue of widening the gap between the have and the have-nots.
Okay. Okay, so we will get into those issues, I assure you. I first just want our listeners and myself to understand what is on the table. So there is an incentive.
Yes.
An incentive is, if you can afford it, 25% of the cost of installing solar at your house or your SME, you will get that cost back up to about 15,000 rands. And we know that on average, one panel is about 4,000 rands. You need about 10 panels, we're told. To put up, to run and power your house. So we're looking at anything between 400,000 to 100,000 rands. Yes, that's people who can afford. But if you can afford to do it, that's what you can do and you can get a rebate. So the question is, would people take it up, those who could afford it?
Look, it is a benefit for those who can afford. Okay. I can assure you. I mean, if you have a 90,000 rand installation and 25% of that is somewhere around between 15,000 to 18,000. I think meaning you can get the maximum of 15,000 back in your pocket.
Yeah.
So basically that's what it means. But there is this condition up to 15,000. So you could be installing a 400,000 system, but 25% of 400,000 is actually how much? It's 100,000 rand.
Mm.
So you're not getting that 100,000 rand back. You get the maximum of 15,000.
So you're not. So for some people, it's a disincentive, and so they wouldn't completely do an installation unless they're willing to move to lose the cash. Okay, now. Many people are frustrated. We have to accept that, Ntlantlangidi. You know, kids can't do homework. You can't make supper. You can't get the laundry done. You know, it's winter is coming. You won't be able to keep your home warm. And so some people might find that 40 to 100,000 rands just for the convenience. And to that end, we know that banks are looking at financing models. The same way in which they finance your car, they might be able to finance these installations. And so if there is a mechanism, many people will take it up. Is that a reasonable thing to say?
Yeah, there is. Many people will take it up if there is a reasonable setup. And let me tell you, a reasonable setup is not necessarily sitting at the banks. It's still going to favor those who are actually affording and have a good credit record, obviously. So there is a system of local government, which is municipalities. I think that is where the government or the national government missed it. There is a solar production association in South Africa. It's very fully fledged, and there's municipalities. And the government should have incentivized both these industries, the solar industry, to actually procure a whole lot of solar systems and solar panels from the solar association to get the municipalities to be the institutions who roll out this solar and sign different electricity supply agreements with customers, including the poor. They should be based on the affordability of the people, but everyone gets an energy solution.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So we look at Cape Town. I'm not saying it is the standard, but we look at Cape Town there, and they've moved quite far ahead in terms of this idea in the city of Cape Town of devolution and providing some electricity themselves. So getting off Eskom and looking into feeder schemes. Are other municipalities also looking at this, and how would they take advantage of a solar scheme?
Yes, that is a very critical question. Because what is happening with the transition of the energy sector, if we are not careful and not do proper, structural reforms, we're going to leave those that are not financially viable behind.
Yeah.
You see, City of Cape Town is at a better position in terms of the target market they have, in terms of the customer category, in terms of the revenue collection. And there are municipalities, and I'm not even talking about municipalities that are in the red. I'm talking about municipalities that are just barely, just making it in terms of their revenue. Yeah. Those municipalities will be left back. And that is why our position is that the Ministry of Finance should have put down an incentive that assist these municipalities to move from the business model that they are in to a future business model, where now they are offering energy services. They're not just selling electricity.
Okay.
Offering energy services, installing all these solar panels to everyone. Everyone must benefit, not just the middle class or the upper class.
And so you're saying municipalities should be the ones literally at the center, almost, for lack of a better word, the middlemen in the solar economy. So the government has the incentives. There are service providers, and the service providers should be going to the municipalities, and then the municipality can then distribute to individual households, businesses in Soweto, Alexandra, etc.
Yes, and municipalities have the database about the indigenous people and the affordability rates of people. But also, I want to elevate this one, Lerato. Remember, the municipalities are also most hit by load shedding. And if we are incentivizing just the customers or the end customer to actually have other solutions, and we forget about these other entities, which are municipalities, in the value chain, you are actually saying municipalities must just go and fend for themselves, Eskom is load shedding. There's nothing we can do, municipalities. What we can do now, we're going to think about customers, incentivizing them with all the tax, rebates that we can incentivize them with. But the system of local government is still have to just sit and wait for Eskom to load shed.
Okay. Yeah. So that's a utopia. That's the future that you would like. The future that we live in, though, is one where the Treasury says, Lerato, you can put solar panels up on your house. Forget the municipality. You can do this yourself. And if I choose to do that, whether I begged, borrowed, or no, I did not steal the money, but wherever it is that I find the money to do it, does it mean I stop being an Eskom customer? And I stop being a municipal customer?
No.
Okay.
No, I think, that is also, for the listeners, this is a very, very critical question, and I want to explain it. You know, when you install solar, whatever capacity of solar you can install, and the battery for the backup.
Yes.
Remember, we have a lot of solar resources in this country, in Africa, actually. Mm. But it doesn't mean you can be completely off the grid. So you're still going to need the grid services from the municipality. So the customers, and this is not new. I hear in South Africa, it has become something that the customers completely are negative about. Mm. In Europe, the customers pay a lot of taxes for making a grid available for the customers who have these solar installations. And there's a large amount of customers in Europe and the US who have put their solar panels in their houses, but they know that they have to pay a certain tax to the utility for the utility to make their grid available when it's raining, when you cannot charge your battery through solar, when it's raining, or when it's cloudy. So you're still going to need, or you're still going to be a customer of a municipality, but you're going to be a different kind of customer that we call there's a concept that we call customer centricity, where now you're going to have a customer that trades with the municipality and the municipality trades back with the customer.
Oh, you're going to have to explain that a little bit. And you're also going to have to explain to us then what is meant by the solar tax, because I think this is where these proposals have come through, is that for 70% of the time, in good weather, you might be able to generate your own electricity. But like you say, cold days, rainy days, any kind of meteorological problems, you still have to defer back to Eskom. So how are you an Eskom customer? At what percentage? And what happens when you're not a customer? Please explain. And we'll talk about that in a moment.
Getting you what you need to know. Power Talk. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Power 98.7.
Well, isn't it just appropriate that we are Power 98.7 and we are talking about powering your home in the midst of this energy crisis? We're joined by Nhlanhla Ngidi, Head of Energy and Electricity at SALGA, because the municipalities over which SALGA sort of represents, there are concerns that municipalities are going to lose revenue if more people take up the incentive for presented by government to install solar panels over their homes. But you are saying it doesn't stop you from being an Eskom customer. Please explain again.
Yes. Now the good thing about the energy policy, it has liberalized everyone. Mm. Everyone has their energy sustainability issues in their hands. But still, it doesn't rule out the business model of a utility. So as a customer, you will have two options. You could install solar, have a gas stove, everything else that seeks to take you out of the grid. And you could go to a municipality and say, I want to be off the grid and I don't want to be your customer anymore. Mm. And what the municipality then does, they will completely dishonest their cable that is coming to your house, which means now your house is an island, actually. Mm. You don't have anything that is coming to your house. Whether you have the sun or not, you don't have power. Yeah. You can't call on the municipality to supply you. And then the second option now is you still want to be the customer of a municipality, but you're not going to be buying the energy anymore. You're going to be paying for municipalities' infrastructure availability. And that is the tax that I'm talking about. It's called the fixed charge.
Okay.
Where now, when you call on the municipality to supply you at night, when your battery has run out of the backup and you don't have solar, then that is where you're going to start paying something that is called a fixed charge. Or other utilities call it a network charge. Okay. In Europe, it's called a grid operator tax.
Okay.
So it's a tax. It's not as big as a bill that you pay every month right now as you are in municipal or as a customer. It could be a fraction. I think it's what I've seen with the fixed charges that municipalities have right now. They are between 20 to 25% of what you currently pay.
Okay, so if you're paying 1,000 rands, you're gonna pay 250 rands.
You're gonna pay 250 rand, which is a fixed charge that actually. You know, you're paying for a contingency that if I don't have solar, if my battery is flat, I can call on the power from the municipality.
All right, let's move the conversation along here. We know that municipalities have really struggled with their revenue collection, rates and taxes, of which there are also water bills and electricity bills. So in terms of revenue models, is this not the municipality panicking because quite a lot of ratepayers are going to migrate to this solar tax fix charge thing and not pump in money the way they've used to pump in?
Look, there's one thing that we always forget when we talk about revenue of municipalities. The very failures of revenue issues in municipalities are caused by the customer itself and not the municipality. I know you may argue that, because there are different views, but municipalities now are owed almost 300 billion rand from the customer. So the very failure of the system is not caused by the municipality, it's caused by the culture of non-payment that we have in the country. And this is not something that only the municipalities need to turn around. I think it's just a community thing that we just need to turn around. If we still want to have sustainable service delivery. We can't have sustainable service delivery if there is no money that is flowing into the system. So the failures of revenue in municipalities is not necessarily by municipalities themselves. It's because people have gotten used to taking services for free. I think that is something that we always run away from.
Okay.
So what we need to do, but also obviously this cannot be a short-term kind of a solution, but we need to change the system. We need to restructure the whole system of utilities in the country. There are utilities who are sitting with only poor customer categories. Those ones, they will never make it. We need to create some consolidation, some pockets of consolidations from the utilities that have lower class customer categories, integrate them with those utilities that are supplying mostly the industries and the paying customers. So that you have, unfortunately, you have to have a system of cross-subsidization because you have high unemployment rates in this country. So the system still needs to cross-subsidize.
So
we need to do some restructuring of the system itself in order to move away from municipalities that are continually in the AG's report as municipalities who are dysfunctional.
Okay, I want to bring in Paswa here very quickly because I understand what you're saying is whatever revenue model you look at, it's always going to favor the middle class and the rich, and poor people will be load shed forever and ever, and nobody will have come up with an interim solution for them. Paswa, good day.
Good day, Lerato, and your guest. You know, the issue around energy mix in South Africa is quite problematic because it's a policy issue. Officials tend to blame communities and leave municipalities out. Bear in mind that the reason we're here is because of policy failure. You know, South Korea has 70% using coal, being an advanced developed country, gas and that mix. And in South Africa, we have more light than any other way. So there are the problem of solar was an energy mechanism, batteries and those type of things. Currently, you can be off the grid. I know I'm in this industry, the people who are not using municipalities. But the biggest problem is that municipalities are failing to manage. They've put problem upon problem, and we are good at blaming a culture of non-payment.
Mm.
Look at small municipality, how ANC came and dismantled small municipalities. For example,
unfortunately, yes. We've literally got 30 seconds to the headlines. I think we get the gist of what you're saying. Ntlantlangiti, do you want to respond to that? And I think the issue here is it's not the energy policy anymore. It's about how to provide electricity to people, not relying completely on Eskom.
Yes. You know, the energy policy about the energy mix, I think where we need to focus is what is the intention for our energy system? Is it to grow the economy,
yeah,
or is our intention to actually go green and have clean energy?
Yeah.
We can't have both at the same time.
Yeah.
So you have to be very intentional. If you want to grow the economy, you must make sure that you are aggressive on the energy system that is going to give you jobs, that is going to give you factory production system.
Yeah.
But if you want it both at the same time, you're not going to win. So you have to be intentional in terms of your policy. And that is what our government needs to look at. Are we doing this because we want to make the EU happy about going green?
Mm.
Or are we doing this for the country to make sure that we get a very resilient energy system?
Okay.
So we have to be intentional.
I do like that. I think it's both. You want to be green, but you also need to be resilient and I think pragmatic as well. Ntlantlangiti, Head of Energy and Electricity at Salgat.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.